listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio podcast, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I am your host, Cliff Kelly. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Here where we are just trying to bring understanding to end time events. We are going to get right into this episode here in just a second. This episode, which we are calling Signs and Wonders. Signs and Wonders. We'll talk about that for a second. And then we will introduce our guests for this evening. Just before we get started, I wanted to share with you many ways and to contact us and to view and listen to the broadcast or the podcast each week that we do an episode. If you want to email us, and we thank you for the correspondence that we always get, at straighttruthradio@yahoo.com. That's straighttruthradio@yahoo.com. Those who watch us via our social media platforms, Facebook, that's Clifford Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, and also Straight Truth Radio, the Straight Truth Radio page at Straight Truth Radio. On Twitter, it's at CK Holyman, at CK Holyman, or at Straight Truth R, the letter R and the number one, at Straight Truth R1. On YouTube, that's Straight Truth Radio Podcast, Straight Truth Radio Podcast. And on Instagram, our Instagram audience, we are trying to take advantage. The one thing that we haven't been able to do yet, and we'll explain that in a second, but on Instagram, Straight_Truth_Radio_Podcast. We haven't been able to link this program together so then that you have the opportunity to actually see the guests that we have on, but you can at least hear everything that is going on. As soon as we can figure that or figure out a way to link everything together, then you won't miss a beat, but you can still hear everything that is going on. So blessings to all of you. Thank you for tuning in. On our each week after we do a podcast or after we do the video, we release the that episode on our podcast platform. That's Apple, Anchor, Breaker, Google, Overcast, Podbean, and Radio Public, and also Spotify. So we want to thank you so much for tuning in also, and you can see what's going on our website. That's the number 4straighttruth.org, 4straighttruth.org. Again, this episode we are calling Signs and Wonders. And so very quickly, when we talk about signs and wonders, Isaiah, the 8th chapter and verse 18 talks about how the Lord has have been given for signs and wonders. He says, I am a father, and the children of the Lord that he has given us for signs and wonders in Israel. Now, of course, we understand that's an Old Testament scripture. It does not mean that it ended there. The church in Ephesians, the first chapter, we understand that that we have been created for his glory. We have been created for the praise of his glory. And we also understand that the word of God also tells us that we are his witnesses. And so the one thing that makes the church attractive is the miracles, the signs, the wonders that should be going on. And so, you know, when we talk here on this platform here, we have mentioned, you know, it's not that God is not doing miracles. There are not signs and wonders that are not happening, but the church has watered herself down. So then that the God that we praise and the God that should be glorified, the God that we serve, should be not only known and we should make him known, but then that signs and wonders should also be seen. So, and because we are living in the end times now, how much more should we be seen, or should the God that we serve be seen and operating through us, through signs, miracles, wonders? Just as the in the Bible days and the stories that we read, when Jesus sent out his 12 and when he sent out the 70, when they came back with the reports about how the devil was subject unto them, they went out, laid hands on the sick. They gave sight to the blind. The deaf were able to hear. Not only that, but Jesus healed the maimed. Do you understand what it means to be maimed? A limb was missing. How much more of a miracle is that than to see a limb restored? And so I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be able to operate in that level. It's fine to cast out a devil or a spirit or something like that, you know, whatever. You know, this person was crazy. Now all of a sudden they sane. And the Bible says the one person that Jesus, the devil that he had cast out, that they were clothed, and he was clothed and in his right mind. That's a wonderful thing. But I want to pray, and I want to pray in such a way that the lame can walk, that the maimed is healed, that a person who died was risen. Those miracles still exist today. I've seen it happen with my own eye. I didn't operate in it, but I've seen it happen with my own eyes. And I want to be able to operate in that level. And I believe the Lord wants us to operate on that level, because those levels and miracles of works cannot be, you can't cast that away. You know that person's faith is not a fake. And so, again, this episode, we're talking about signs and wonders, and we're going to hear a testimony from a couple who I've had the pleasure of being at their church. I'll say before I put them up, I'm going to give my testimony first and then a testimony first, and then we're going to introduce them and put them up. But, you know, I had the opportunity of being with their church. We're going to have Pastor Chad and Tiffany Blaylock with us from First Apostolic, and they'll give us the location again. I know it's out there. It's out there a little bit, but we'll put them up here in a second. But I had an opportunity to be at their church, and the one thing I want to say, the power of the Lord is going on. When I talk about we have to move nonstop with no matter what is going on in the world today, the church has to be nonstop. And during the time of COVID, the 2 years ago when it was running rampant, and there were and everything was shut down. I have to admit, you know, whereas a lot of ministries did shut down, and I understand. I'm not throwing shade at anyone. I'm not throwing shade of what you did and how you had to operate. But there were ministries who, no matter what, they were going to continue. And I had an opportunity to go to this church. I think maybe they had shut down for maybe a week or so, or 2 weeks or so, just so they could figure out how they were going to adjust. And then they kept right on going, plugging away. The power of the Lord was still going on. People were still being baptized. They were being filled with the Holy Ghost, And so, I give honor to God for how people are still running nonstop, letting the Lord use them as a sign for and as a witness for what God said that he would do. So very quickly, I wanted to give this testimony that one of the things that the Lord had done in my life And I go back to, and then we're going to introduce our guest tonight. First thing I want to say is I shouldn't be here. I should not be here. There are many things that the Lord had done for me and delivered me from. This one testimony which we plan on sharing with you this evening. I think I was about 11, 10 or 11, but I want to say it was about 11. And I found my father's gun, and it was a 380. I know now it was a 380, and I found his gun. And, you know, we'd always sit down, my brother and I would always sit down and watch, TV with my father and everything. And we liked the, you know, Starsky and Hutch and Hunter and, you know, all those, you know, detective shows and everything, TJ Hooker and, you know, all those little shows and everything. But I found his gun. And so I pulled the gun out and I was playing with it and everything. And I was just playing with it and pointing it in the closet where I found it at in the corner. And I pulled the trigger and it clicked, and I pulled the trigger again and it clicked. And I was trying to figure out how to open, cause it's a revolver. I didn't know much about guns. I just saw, you know, what I seen on TV. And I tried to figure out how to open it, because I wanted to, you know how you see on TV, you spin the chamber and then click it, you know, and it closes, make that sounds when it clicks. I wanted to do that, but I was trying to figure out how to get it open. And I'm clicking it and I'm pulling the trigger and nothing was happening. And I finally figured out how to get the chamber get the chamber open or the round open. And when I got it open and I'm looking at it and I'm clicking it and I'm looking at it, clicking it, I finally got it open and I saw that the gun was full. It had all the rounds in it. All the bullets was in it. Now I'm clicking it and I'm looking at it and clicking it, pointing it at myself, clicking it. Every time I pulled the trigger, the gun wouldn't, and I realized that, wait a minute, I almost shot myself. And I threw the gun down on the floor and it went off, but it went off in the corner of the closet. And it just so happened no one was home or anything like that. But I hid that gun. I hid it and put it back where I found it. And I had to catch my breath and thought about, you know, I could have been a statistic on how you find a gun and accidentally shoot yourself playing with something that you shouldn't have, that we shouldn't have in our hands anyway. And so, I give honor to, and so when people ask me, you know, Cliff, you know, you're so radical, you so this, you so that, and people want to know why I act the way I act, why I operate the way I act, operate the way I do, is these kind of things here. When I process what God has spared me from, when I see what God has done, when I finally submitted myself unto the Lord and allowed him to use me in a manner in which he wants to use his church in these last days. I mean, I made a promise from what he spared me from. I will not operate in fear. The people that I run into now and I have the chance to minister with now, I never would have met them had God not had grace upon me. The guests that we've had on this show never would have existed had God had not had grace and mercy upon a foolish kid that found his father's and played with his father's gun. So when I tell you, when I'm coming, I know some people say, Cliff, you just too straight. You're right. I'm going to give it to you straight with no chaser, because the God that I serve had mercy upon me. You're going to get it straight with no chaser. I don't know no coop, no professional way to be. you're going to get it raw. You're going to give it to, I'm going to give it to you the way the Lord gives it to me. And so I just thank the Lord for sparing me, allowing me to be here, allowing me to share this platform and talk to you and bring episodes to you. And just, I'm grateful. And so, without any further ado, what I want to do is I want to introduce our guests this evening. Here they are, pastors, Chad and Sister Tiffany Blaylock of New Hope Apostolic Church. And, say hello and tell us what a church is.
Hello. Thank you, Brother Kelly, for allowing us this tremendous opportunity to share our story. And really, our story is a miracle of what God has done in our lives and bringing us together. And so I pastor New Hope Apostolic Church in LaGrange, Ohio, 40180 Parsons Road. And they're some of the greatest people that I know on the face of the earth, and we love them so much. And I've been there for about 2.5 years. Me getting there is actually a story in itself, how God orchestrated that whole situation, me being able, the door opening for me to step in to pastor this church. Kids had placed gum underneath the front pew, and we always laugh about that. But I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old, and just was living for God, you know, just a typical you know, young man in the church. Wasn't perfect by, you know, just wasn't a perfect kid, but I was in the church, and I never left the church, and did the best I could. And when I was about 19 years old, I get it. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, says the Lord's speaking to me audibly every single day. But one of the few times that I literally heard the audible voice of God was at 19 years old. We had a revival service at our church, and I was just at the altar, just weeping before God, just wanting to do something for God, very hungry for something for God. And in the midst of that time of prayer up at the altar, I literally heard God's voice tell me, "I will anoint you." And at that point, I accepted the call of God upon my life to preach the gospel. I didn't have a microphone from the beginning. My dad was the type of guy, if you're called, God will qualify you. And so I definitely didn't just grab a microphone and start preaching the very next Sunday. Matter of fact, it's a funny story I tell my young ministers. It was a few months after that. We was in a service, and I'm just, you know, full of zeal. And I go into my dad's office, and I tell him I want to evangelize. God, Dad, I feel I'm called to evangelize. And that was one of the first big no's that I can remember in the ministry coming from my pastor, was that day in the office when a young man just full of zeal, full of faith, ready to do something for God, had a calling upon his life. I knew God wanted me to preach, and I felt the call to do something. And I went to my dad's office and told him, "I want to evangelize." And he looked at me, said no, rejected. But now I can look back and say thank God for my pastor, knowing better than I did, and he could tell me no. Through a sequence of events, not to labor the point, the Lord began to use me. I was able to go to Bible college for about a semester, which was a blessing. I was able to go on a missions trip to Chile, South Africa. South America. Chile, did I say that right? I'm sorry. Yes. Chile, South America, not South Africa. which was an awesome blessing. I tell you, I would encourage anybody to go on a missions trip to a powerful Apostolic Pentecostal church overseas, because their worship, their faith is such at a tremendous level. The stories that I have personally of miracles, signs, and wonders happening overseas is awesome. And through a sequence of events, the Lord led us together. And I guess that has more to do with her testimony. I do want to talk about where we found each other, because that's a very, very important part of our story together. But that's a brief summary of myself, and I'll turn it over to her and let her talk about herself.
Okay, so I was also raised in church. I'm not a pastor's kid. My parents, both heavily involved in the church, are both still heavily involved. I was probably more of the rebellious teenager than my husband. I got into a little bit of trouble as a kid. I was rebellious. I did get pregnant when I was 17 with my oldest. And it was a time in my life. I was 17, very confused. I made some poor decisions. And, you know, being raised in church my whole life, I thought that, you know, I knew what church was supposed to be and everything. But some things transpired when I got pregnant with my son. I wasn't, you know, treated maybe fairly is the best way to say it. I don't want to rehash the whole situation. But there was some decisions made that weren't the best decisions for me or for my son at the time. My parents reaped some of the repercussions of decisions I'd made, as did my sister. And, you know, I was just at a place in my life where I didn't really feel like the church showed the love of God the way I thought it should. And, you know, the thing is when we make poor decisions, which, you know, getting pregnant before I was married, 17, I was still very much a kid. Sometimes when we make those poor decisions, it's very difficult to come back to a place of, okay, well, you know, God, I know you're going to forgive me. We're going to move forward in you. I kept going to church for a while. I even went to his church for a few months after I left my other church. But I just really was very jaded towards the church. I wanted nothing to do with the church. So I left. And I was out of church for 7 years. There was a lot of times during those 7 years that God saved my life. I was not around good people. I made a lot of very, very poor decisions on the kind of people I involved myself with, just the lifestyle I was leading. But I could always feel, you know, the call of God to come back to church. My parents, I would hear my parents praying for me at night.
Never gave up on
me. They always loved me. They loved me through
Wait a minute.
I was a difficult person for my parents to deal with. I was very rebellious. I didn't want them to talk to me about church. I didn't want to hear about church. Them praying for me would make me angry. Like, I would just want to leave the house because I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to feel the presence of God because I was so angry at what had happened to me. I was angry at the church. I was angry at church people. I just felt abandoned by everything I knew, because my entire life I was raised with the love of God and there's forgiveness and there's Calvary and all these things, but I didn't feel like any of that was shown to me. I felt like I was thrown away because I had made a really difficult time in my life. It was a very long years. And there came a point in my life where I really thought I would never go back to church. I just felt this feeling of, you know, God, there's no place for me to fit. I don't fit at any church. I, you know, at this time, by that time in my life, I had, you know, was getting ready to have my second child. And I felt like if I try to go back to church, there's going to be judgment there. There's going to be people looking at me. There's going to be bad feelings. And I was actually very pregnant with my daughter, 8 months pregnant, and I went to my cousin's graduation party. And unbeknownst to me, there was going to be a ton of church people there. And I was instantly uncomfortable. I just felt like, oh my goodness, all these people are looking at me. They're talking about me. They have all these feelings towards me. And it really was the complete opposite. That day in June, I just, everybody talked to me, treated me so well, you know, so they were glad to see me. My husband was there at the time. And I mean, funny story about us way, way back, because we were actually each other's first boyfriend and girlfriend when we were 13 and 15. So really, he has always been the love of my life. Even seeing him that day made my heart flutter. So I was really nervous being there, but they really showed me a lot of love that day. And it just, you know, from that day, God just kept talking to me. I would be, this is, it's probably an odd thing to hear, but I've always loved music. I listened to worldly music. I was completely engrossed in worldly music. But when I was in my apartment, I would be doing dishes, and I couldn't think of the lyrics of any worldly song. As hard as I would try, it would always be a Christian song that would come into my head, and I just thought, this is so weird. I haven't heard this song in almost a decade. But it was there, and God was constantly calling to me. And I got asked to actually go to a concert at New Life, at the church that pastor was at. And I wasn't going to go. And the person said, there's no preaching. And I thought, okay, if there's no preaching, I'll go. Because I felt like if I hear preaching, I won't make it out of there. And I pulled into the parking lot that morning, and I had both my kids in tow. Logan is 6. London is 6 weeks old. She's a newborn baby. And I just thought, wow, I'm in this place right now. What are these people going to think and say? They know I've been out of church. I'm, you know, my life is truly in shambles. I'm a single mom of 2 kids. I don't know what's going to happen. And I knew I just had to trust him. And when I walked in those back doors, everybody was so kind to me. There was no judgment there for me. There was no looking at me like, oh, you're a failure. Because, you know, when you're a backslider, the devil is already telling you, you have no place to fit in. You are a failure. There's judgment. There's condemnation. Everybody is talking about you. And, you know, that's so untrue. Because people, when they see you come back, there is so much love. There is so much, it's so good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Could there be a person in the crowd that is judging you? Absolutely. But that's everyday life for everybody. We all get judged. If you work at a corporate job, somebody is judging your, you know, your work record, how you're doing. If you messed up on a job, it's just part of it. But the devil has a tendency to lie to us and make us think. And, you know, very, very last song, and they sang Do You Still Feel the Nails by old Ray Bolt song. Most people listening to this probably don't even know that song. And
say that again.
Does He Still Feel the Nails? It's an incredible song. And I could feel the tears just coming down my face. My grandma was sitting next to me, and I just started praying, and I just started repenting, and I just started talking to God. And all of those feelings of not being enough, not being loved, in that moment were gone. And he let me know right then that I don't care what anybody's done to you in the past. I don't care how you've been hurt, you know, because, you know, churches aren't perfect, and people within the church might make a decision, even including a pastor, might make a decision that's not the right decision because they're human. And, you know, God let me know that even in the mistakes that were made towards me, some of them on my own, some of them because people were human and made mistakes and gave down judgments that shouldn't have happened. And mistreated me. He, as I was leaving, he said, "Well, I see you tonight." This is back when they still had Sunday night service, and I said, "You know, I don't have anything to wear." You know, I could kind of feel that pull of, "Oh, you know, I don't know." And he was like, "I don't care what you wear." That did for me that day, because that just let me know I had a place, that even though I had run so far from where God had wanted me to be, I had made so many bad mistakes. God kept his hand on me through so many poor decisions. So, I mean, I could sit here and tell you probably 10 to 15 stories of times that I know God literally saved my life. My mom put a prayer cloth under the mattress of my apartment, as a covering, just because of the kind of life I was living. And, you know, God saved my life on so many occasions to bring me back. And in that moment to say, like, I don't care. I don't care about anything except you and these kids. And I want you to live for me. That's what he wanted. And, you know, he brought me, you know, and it was a healing process. I don't want anyone to think that if you have been hurt by the church or someone in your life, someone in ministry, that it will necessarily be an immediate healing, because for me it wasn't. I did come back to church and I did live for God, but there was a lot of hurt from what had happened to me that God had to heal. My husband was part of that process. You know, years later, I talked to my pastor that I had grown up under, and you know, conversations were had and apologies given and everything.
Healing.
But I don't want anyone to think that if you have made a mistake or you feel hurt by the church, that that's the end of the story. Because chances are the person that's hurt you or a decision that was made poorly, that person is also looking back wishing they hadn't made that decision.
That's good.
Wishing they had not maybe handled it so harshly or come down on you so harshly, you know. But if you allow God that to put it in your hands, and sometimes we like to take things back out of God's hands because we don't feel it's quick enough. Mm-hmm. And I've done that a few times in my life, and I've been frustrated coming back to church feeling like, God, I want you to do this way. And, you know, but God handled it in such a way that I can hug my old pastor's neck and tell him that I love him and mean that.
Yeah.
Because God has healed. Exactly. And he can hug my neck and tell me that he loves me. Because, you know, pastoring is done by human people. And to have real healing, we have to allow God to come in to our situations and work those things out and not take them into our own hands and say, I was wronged by the church. I was failed by the church. So God, if you don't do this, then I'm going to be upset and I'm going to leave. That's one of the biggest mistakes I made, was I wanted things to happen a certain way when I felt I was wronged by the church. So I took it into my own hands instead of allowing God to work. And it cost me 7 years. It cost me 7 years because I made that decision to handle things my way instead of God's way, when if I had listened and stayed and done what he said, you know, who knows, but, you know, our testimony, all things work together for good.
That's right.
To them that love the Lord.
That's right.
So I'll let you give a little bit of our testimony, and I'll drop little pieces in there about us.
Okay.
Yeah, great job, by the way. Brother Kelly, do you want to interject anything?
No, no, no. I was enjoying it. There was one I thought about what you were saying, Sister Tiffany. You know, we forget that, you know, the Lord says that he's married to the backslider. This is one verse here, Jeremiah 3:14. It said, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. I will bring you to Zion." So, you know, so I know that, of course, we don't think about it at the time that we are going through the situations that I remember when I quit church. I just, you know, I said, you know what, y'all can have this. I'm done, you know. There was a point of, you know, church hurt. And this was early in my, you know, this was early in my ministry or early in my church life. And I didn't want to be in church because my excuse was the saints, because I see how y'all treat one another. So I don't want to be a part of that. And so, you know, as the Lord dealt with me, I felt him, you know, saying to me, "Well, let's show them how it's done then. Let's show them how it's done." So it wasn't me trying to live this life myself. He was saying to me, you know, "With me, with you, let's show them how it's done." And so, I applaud you for hearing the Lord and receiving that love, and just, you know, coming back to him and just being a, you know, the Word of God says that we are epistles read by men. So, you know, the best sermon that we could ever preach is the life that we live. And so I'm very grateful to hear what, you know, to hear your testimony. But you wanted to continue. I didn't mean to say all of that, but you wanted to continue how you
Sorry.
Okay, well, there's a little bad connection. Okay, yeah, it keeps bouncing back and forth. But you wanted to continue with how, you know, you two came together. So please continue.
Yeah, so she gets back in church. There's just this, like she said, this choir came from Columbus. I don't know if the listeners or you know of a man named Mark Condon. He's
I heard of him. Yes,
mm-hmm. You know, he does a lot of he travels, and they came to our church in Maslin, and that's where, you know, she got restored and came at the church. And so I'm like 25, 26. And of course, like she said, we dated when we was kids, 13 and 15 years old. And, you know, we're like 13 and 15 years old. We think we're madly in love. You don't even know what love is at 13 years old. You know?
Right.
And, I loved you back then.
And so, she, you know, she comes back to church, and she's doing really good. And over X amount of months, you know, we were friends. We would talk to each other at the church. And, you know, by this time, actually evangelized. I'd traveled and was preaching, and I was the youth at the church, just preaching and all this stuff. And here she comes, and I begin to notice something about her. I had no plans on dating her, and she was still madly in love with me, but I had no plans on dating her. And kidding, but heavily involved in the church. She came back to the Lord over a series of a month, and how he began to work on her is, and here is this, you know, this backslider, this person that has her past is known. It's not hidden sin. It's, you know, it's there. Everybody, our churches were very heavily in fellowship, so you know everyone knew the situation, and but at the same time, everyone knew what God was doing. And so, when God restored her, she wasn't just coming to church and sitting there. Something drew her to the altar, which I really don't know. I've never really asked you this. It just kind of dawned on me just a moment ago. But she would just go up to the altar and start praying for people. And I noticed, I mean, it was, I mean, she'd come to the altar and some friend of hers or whatever would be holding a little London. And, she'd be on her knees, praying for little kids and they'd get the Holy Ghost, and praying for adults in the church and they'd get the Holy Ghost. And I'm seeing this, and it was very, very attractive to me, not just her kid we dated, but seeing how she allowed the Lord to use her. And not let her past or her mistakes or what somebody knew about her hinder her from doing something for God.
Right.
Really was attractive to me as a minister of the gospel, because here's the thing, and maybe somebody that's watching this, you're a single person, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you've been divorced, maybe you've been single your whole life, you're an adult, whatever the situation is, you want to find your mate at the altar.
Right.
You don't want to find them.
Right.
You don't want to find them at the, you know, at a party or at a club or at a dance or at some concert or some, you know, yes, God can do anything and God can put lives together, but really the best place you want to find your mate is at the altar. Because if you're going to be in a ministry, you're going to spend a lot of time at that altar. And if your mate doesn't have the same burden as you do, you're going to conflict with each other. You're not going to match. And so it's almost like the Lord, you know, told me that's the one you want. And so, and to this day, she still works at the altar. And I can say this, she works in giftings that I don't have. The Bible says to chase after the best gifts, talking about the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
And I do, and I pray for those gifts, but I tell you what, when it comes to altar working, there's some people that just have certain gifts to work at the altar that other people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really made us a match, is because I saw her at the altar. I feel like I found her at the altar. And God just put us together that way. And it almost was like, if you know the story of Ruth and Boaz, without going into the whole thing,
right.
We have a time limit here. You know, Ruth, the whole family left, Naomi, the whole situation, they come back to the house of bread, the house of blessing, Bethlehem, Judah. Of course, Boaz is there. And he has his pick of the flock, you know, because he owns the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And but here God put them together for a purpose.
Yes.
And of course, Ruth in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and it lets us know that God is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about miracles and signs and wonders, and there are miracles of healing and all that stuff, but I You know, God could do a miracle in a backslider's life.
Right.
You know, somebody that doesn't belong, somebody that, you know, people look down and, you know, church people could say, oh, we're so glad that she's here, but you know, that's all she's going to be. No, God can literally take a backslider and make him a pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
God can take a backslider and give them gifts of the Spirit to where they're praying other backsliders through the Holy Ghost and praying people through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and healings and different things like that. And that's kind of like our story, I think, in a nutshell.
And I...
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think that I'm the epitome of who's not going to be a pastor's wife. I've always felt that way. It's not work in the kingdom.
Right.
Nobody is exempt.
Right.
Nobody is, you have to come from a certain lineage. You have to come from certain parents. You can't have baggage. Like he said, what I did was on display. I had two kids in tow every time I went to church. There was no secret sin or anything hidden. Everything, who Tiffany was there for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
But God took that and said, okay, you can reach people that other people can't.
Right.
Because you're not the molded pastor's wife that's had it all right and came up in the right family and plays the piano and has it all together. You're the kind of person that when the Bible looks and says, he can use anybody,
mm-hmm.
he can use somebody like me. And our marriage to me is a testament of God's love, mm-hmm. of God's grace and mercy, of, you know,
restoration,
blended family,
mm-hmm.
how it can work, of, you know, loving, you know, situations. You know, there were people that told my husband not to marry me.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Because I had two biracial kids, then I would rule in his ministry, and, you know, people were going to look at it and can realize that God can use anybody.
Anybody.
Right. Yes.
No, there isn't one anybody. Person that can do anything so drastic, so horrible that God doesn't look at them and say, I can fix all that. Your testimony can reach other people. It can change people's lives. And, you know, God has given us the ability to reach people that maybe everybody else couldn't reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can talk to people about where I've been and what I've been through and say, listen, felt his call and his pull back to the church, and that there isn't anything that we can do that can really separate us from the love of God.
Right.
That is amazing. You know what I, and what I take from both of your stories is, I remember my wife before, well, in the early days of our marriage, this year will be 26 years, but in the early days of our marriage,
thank you.
But in fact, next month, but what I take away from both of your stories is, first of all, you, Sister Tiffany, how Maya and I would always say, I think sometimes some of the best saints are the ones who had, who've been mixed up with the world, who have been, they had a knockout, drag out, you know, situations in the world. And then when God actually gets their hands on them and cleans them up, they know what it was like to be out there. So they make this life in Christ.
Right.
They make it well worth it. I mean, they so you understand what I'm saying? They knew what it was to be out there. But then, so Maya would say, you know, I don't have no testimony like that. I don't have no testimony like this, that, and the other, you know, the other, whatever. And, you know, I would share with her about the problems I had with drinking, you know, before I got, you know, my mom was saved. I mean, I would say, I would testify, I would say my mother was super duper saved. You know, but my father wasn't. but my father wasn't. And so So I was a product of a mixed marriage. And so my father was an alcoholic. So that pull to drink, it was easy. I mean, it was easy. And I could drink a lot of my friends under the table sometimes on the weekends when we would go out. But, you know, so I would talk about that. But she would say, well, I've never did this. I've never done that. I said, I don't have no testimony. I said, well, guess what? You have one of the greatest testimonies that the Lord kept you.
That's what I say about him all the time.
You can actually say the Lord kept you.
Kept you.
So, you know, so you can't argue that God is not a keeper because you have that testimony.
Right.
And then there are some, you know, and so we understand that no one can pull us out of the hands of God. Now we can jump out, you know, we walk away. He doesn't walk away from us. We walk away from him, but he's still there. Like he's still there, you know, with his arms open, just wondering, just waiting, just, you know, to bring us back into the fold again. And so, I'm just grateful for both of the stories. It's like peanut butter and jelly. They just, it comes together and it makes for a great sandwich. So I'm so grateful to have you both here this week, this weekend, this episode. And so, we're going to go ahead and, let me see here. We had comments from such a great testimony, very encouraging, power of redemption. Oh man. So the message is getting out. The message is definitely getting out.
Good.
And so, I just want to thank you again for being with us. Any last words that you want to say to the viewing audience and then listening audience later? Any last words?
I just want to say that, you know, if you are a backslider, or if you're a person that doesn't know God, I promise you that anything you think you know about God or his feelings for you, trust me, he loves you more than you can even fathom, more than anything in this world can offer you. Living for God is the best way to live your life. And I can say that, like I said, my testimony, I've lived on both sides of it, and the comfort and the joy and the peace, not that we don't go through things, not that things in life don't happen to us and we don't have trials, but to have God there to help you through everything that you have to face, because we all face life. We've all, you know, we've had miscarriages. We've had terrible things happen in our lives. We've faced financial hardships. We've faced it all, but God kept us and was there for us. And when you have that in your life, it's so different than trying to face this world on your own. So if you're a backslider, come back. Come back. God loves you and the church loves you. And if you need a church, New Hope will love you.
That's right.
And we will put our arms around you. We don't care how far you've gone, what you've done, who you've been with. We love you. And more importantly, God loves you.
That's right. I just want to add to what she said. You know, don't throw the disciples away because of one Judas.
Right.
Don't throw the church away because of one bad apple.
Right.
Wherever you're hearing this, there's really good churches out there.
Right.
And that will love you, that will teach you the truth, that will restore you. New Hope is a church like that. We will love you. We will restore you. No, we are not perfect. We are human beings that's trying to be like Jesus.
Right.
But I can tell you that we will do our best to be like Jesus.
Right.
And thank you, Brother Kelly, for allowing us this opportunity. God bless you. And I guess that's it.
Okay, absolutely. So listen, Pastor Blaylock, please pray us out. And before we close out, we're going to do this a little differently this week. Normally I close out with the music and give you ways to contact us. I want to do that first. Again, this is Straight Truth Radio Podcast. If you want to get in contact with us via email, it's straighttruthradio@yahoo.com. That's straighttruthradio@yahoo.com. Our social media platforms on Facebook, it's Clifford Kelly. Oh, come on, catch up. What's going on here? Well, anyway, Clifford Kelly, and also Straight Truth Radio, the Straight Truth Radio page on Twitter is @StraightTruthRadio. The letter R and the number one @StraightTruthR1 or @CKHolyMan on YouTube, Straight Truth Radio Podcast. That's Straight Truth Radio Podcast. And those of you who were watching us on Instagram, Straight_Truth_Radio_Podcast. As I always say, when we close out, hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and keep you from falling. Know that we're not sinless, but we sin less because of him who became sin for us. And so what I want to do differently this episode, I want to give an opportunity for Pastor Blaylock, where you play us, pray us out. And as you, after you finish praying, then we'll actually, that'll be the last thing you'll hear. You'll hear the closing interlude or whatever this music is that, you know, that we, how we close out. But pray us out, Pastor Blaylock. Pastor Blaylock, you there? There's connection here. Hold on. Pastor Blaylock, go ahead and pray us out. That's okay. The blood of Jesus. He hates when we one up him. But that's okay. This is Straight Truth Radio Podcast, a place where the lip of truth endures forever. Bringing understanding
to restoration come to them.
There we go.
Got anybody that is struggling with a decision to go back to the house of God, that is struggling with the relationship with God, let them know, which is them, the very first breath of their decision to live in church and their decision to come back to church. You have never stopped loving them. And God, let that be at the forefront of their thinking. And God, we thank you, Lord, for this, and let this ministry go forth and thrive and be blessed and be a blessing to the nations. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hold on, Pastor Blaylock, as we close out. Again, this is Straight Truth Radio Podcast. I want to thank you again for tuning in. We'll be here again next week. And next week, we're going to get back into some of our updates on, again, what's happening here in the end times. How do we know that we are definitely in the end times? We're going to give you some clues, some hints. We tie everything to Scripture. The things that are happening right now in the world today, we tie it to Scripture. If no one can point to the Scripture as to what is happening, don't go with that. But again, here again, Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where we look for truth and do us forever. And where we're just bringing understanding to end time events. I want to thank you again for tuning in. We will see you next week. Remember, stay strong, stay true, hold on to him. God bless you. Take care.